Hello and welcome to Deluded, a Melbourne Demons fan podcast. Neats, even by the bleak standards of this season, that was a pretty rough loss. Was this our lowest point?
Well, according to Jake Melksham, it was. And it's funny though, because he did say that this was the lowest point he'd reached, but you know, surely the Essendon
career.
Well, I don't know if he made that comment, but surely I would assume the Essendon supplement scandal would be slightly worse than this. But this is pretty bad. I mean, we're 17th on the ladder, and there is no chance that we can move off 17th, which is pretty appalling.
Oh, it's an absolute joke.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is crazy. And he talked a bit about how last year was the best year of his life, and he was just loving, you know, just loving life. And this year, it's just all gone to tatters. So
he's really invested a lot of his happiness in his football team.
Yeah, well, I mean, he really should have learned never to invest any of your happiness in the success of Melbourne. Otherwise, you're going to be an incredibly bitter and twisted individual, much like we are. But it's really, really bad. I mean, that was our second worst loss of the season.
Is that right?
I think that's right. And the crazy thing is it's to a team that's only marginally ahead of us on the ladder.
Yeah. Which has lost, I think, 5 or 6 straight games in a row.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it really does beg the question as to whether or not we have gotten anything out of this season. And I do think that one of the things that's become very apparent to me is you look at the way that Carlton and the Swans are finishing the year, even St Kilda to an extent, with real positivity. And, you know, they've tried some new players, they've, you know, tried people in different positions, and they really are building towards something for next year. So you can definitely imagine that Carlton are going to be a pretty decent team next year, actually. And, you know, potentially even Brisbane-esque in terms of their surge up the ladder, although probably not that high, but still, though, I think they will move considerably up the ladder. And even the Swans, you know, they're getting really something out of Nick Blakey and Jordan Dawson and all these players. And obviously Heaney's still a gun, Florence awesome. You know, they really are getting a lot though out of their young players. And then you look at us and we just look like we are limping to the finish line with absolutely nothing really to point to as a positive out of the season, except for potentially the advent of Marty Hoare.
Yeah, I mean, Hoare has been good. I'm trying to think of anyone else who's improved this season.
Well, I think Lever has gotten a chance to play.
Right.
So that's just objectively better than him nursing an injury for a whole year. So that's something.
He's shown bits and pieces.
He's shown bits and pieces of his intercepting skills.
I feel like Lockhart had some good moments earlier in the year.
Very few, but yeah.
No, he showed a bit. I think Fritsch has improved.
Yeah. No, Lockhart did show a little bit. Fritsch has definitely improved.
Petrarca's improved.
The back end. Yeah, Petrarca's improved. But aside from that,
it's been thin.
It is very difficult to point to anything that's really positive. And it's, I think the thing that's made me a little bit concerned is that I feel as though, you know, the Swans really have unearthed some players, right? Like McCartan, like Jordan Dawson, you know, obviously Blakey. Like there are players who you can look at the Swans and say they really show that they're going to be serious players for the future. So when once Kieran Jack and all these players retire, they are going to have, and Jared McVeigh, they are going to have, you know, you can see what they're building towards in the future in the next couple of years. For us, I think we've unearthed the fact that we don't have great depth. That's the real problem for me. It's not like we've unearthed a whole host of talent. I think we've just potentially shown that we really don't have much depth.
But then here's the question I have for you. I mean, last year it looked like we had a glut of small forwards, for example. Is it that they were always no good, or just that players like that need the good players to be playing well to be able to show anything?
It's a great point, because Spargo really has been a disappointment this year.
Oh, he's been appalling. Yeah.
And last year he was really, his kicks into the forward line were really helpful, and he was playing well.
Same with Hannon.
Same
with Garlett when he was playing.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are injured, but it's the same. I agree with you. I agree that there is an extent to which all these players rely upon Oliver, Gus, Hibbard, Melksham, Jetta, all these players being in career best form, Tom McDonald, and then that just hasn't happened at all.
Right. But I do think we have this underlying level of fringe players who I find it hard to believe would make it at any club.
I agree with that.
Players like Stretch, like Neil Bullen. I mean, jury's out on some of these newer guys, but even like Kennedy Harris.
Yeah.
You know, he's shown a bit. I don't know if he's going to make it. You know, Dunkley, I'm hopeful about, but it's early days.
And I just don't think he's ready for it.
He's certainly not ready yet.
He's really, he's very, very raw. Even like the Oscar Bakers, will he be something. I
hope so, but it's hard to tell.
It really is. And that's the problem at the moment, is that you can't really see... It's very difficult to point to particular things this season and say that was something that you can really look at in the future and get excited about, except right. for a couple of moments from Lockhart and Marty Hall.
Right. Well, what do you make of Gary Pert's comments suggesting that we actually weren't that good last year and we only beat a couple of teams in the finals and so on?
And then we got a run on. You know, it's a funny thing because I feel like the narrative from the club has changed very quickly. All of a sudden, maybe to hose down expectations for the off-season and for next year, they feel like they need to make it very clear that last year we really weren't that great, which is a real indictment on the club, I would say, that towards the end of the season, they're now flipping the narrative and saying, no, we knew all along we were not actually that great last year. We knew that we just beat two teams to get into the top, to secure our spot in the top eight. And then we just got a roll on in the first half of the finals. But I think it probably is true.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, how helpful it is for the confidence of the players, though, to basically make it clear, like, last year you really weren't that great and that probably was a bit of an aberration. Like, how does that mentally affect the players?
I mean, the truth is, he's made this comment now. The season's already done. I don't think it really matters.
Well, does it affect the off-season, though? And does it affect the preseason? Because, I mean...
I don't think it should affect the off-season. Yeah. Like, I think they should be going into this preseason thinking, we might not make finals next year.
We might still be in the bottom four next year, right. Genuinely. I mean right. that sincerely.
I just don't want any thinking creeping in that this was just a pure aberration.
Yeah.
Get a few players to not be injured and we'll cruise back into the finals.
No, it's
definitely
just not
going to
happen.
It's not true.
That's not going to happen. Though, I do wonder, though, given the way that we're approaching the last couple of games of the season, like there's no urgency, there's no, you know, the players look lethargic on Friday. Mm. They just look like they didn't want to be there. There was a lot of selfishness. Like, it didn't feel like a team that was really playing for each other. Mm. So I do question whether or not they already have the attitude of, let's just get to the off season and reset and then, we'll be right back to normal next year. I wonder right. if that's manifesting that attitude, because if you really know that you're not that good and you really are dead set and hell-bent on improving, then assumedly you would not be like screaming at each other on the field and doing some of the selfish things that Melbourne players have been doing on Friday. I don't know.
Well, I don't
it
know
seems
about
like
that.
Maybe it suggests you're not as invested in this team actually really improving next year.
I don't know about that. I think they're very invested. I think they're probably just so deflated because they have been trying different things.
That's true.
And when nothing works, what do you do? I mean, you look at someone like Oliver, who obviously had that moment during the game where he gave Bailey Fritch a bake for not giving him a handball.
And then the next
but instead
play,
finding an open target.
Yeah, in the forward 50, which we haven't managed to do all year.
Right, which looked quite ridiculous. And obviously you can understand Oliver, you know, getting smashed for that. But
then, of course, because he's hypocrisy, because like
he missed
2 minutes
shot.
Later, he missed a shot when he had other people open.
Yeah, but I do feel sorry for players like Oliver and Gaunt, because you can't question their work ethic and output. I mean,
they're really giving it their all.
Themselves.
They really are.
And for me, they more than anyone else looked particularly gutted throughout the game.
Yeah.
You know, they just looked like they were at their wits' end. Gaunt
looked so frustrated when he was sitting on the bench. He just looked like he was fed up.
Yeah.
Because
what can they do? They had a great preseason.
Yeah.
They came back and ripping Nick.
Well, as Gaunt said, I mean, he's never been fitter in his life. So right. I thought his interview on Triple M was really revealing.
Yeah.
Particularly because he seemed to suggest as well, similar in a similar vein to Gary Pert's comments, that the team really got by on their contested ball last year. The contested ball covered up and masked the deficiencies
right.
in their outside game in a lot of ways.
Well, even on Friday night, we won the contested ball.
Right. And we also won the inside 50s. But last year, there was just this sort of acceptance, which was, look, we will be wasteful. We're not going to have that many great inside 50s, but we'll just win them over because sheer weight of numbers necessarily means that you win.
Right.
And this year has been just really, really revealing that you can't just rely upon sheer weight of numbers to get the ball forward. You can't try and play this forward half territory game if you can't kick goals. Like, you have to sort of figure it out because... And I think that Gaunt's point was spot on, that maybe in some ways they were just riding this wave of contested ball supremacy, which we hadn't seen many, like a lot of teams don't really have that type of supremacy and real outright supremacy. And that was what really got them through a lot of games last year. And then willing teams down with that dominant aspect of their game. But one thing that does interest me is Gaunt's comments about how a lot of players basically, he basically said that, you know, he came back in amazing condition, but there weren't all of his teammates obviously weren't on the similar pace. And that might not necessarily be, I mean, he did acknowledge that injuries played a factor in that, but he did seem to suggest that there were some players who just weren't that fit.
Right. And it'd be fascinating to know who those players were.
Yeah.
Because the narrative we keep getting out of the club and the media is Stephen May didn't come back fit.
Which I think is a bit harsh because it does feel a little bit like he is being used as a scapegoat.
Totally.
You know, I mean,
I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure that's unacceptable. But we didn't even have him on our list last year. We made a prelim.
Also,
so
one
him
player,
not coming back fit is, can't be the reason why we've gone to 17th.
Exactly. I mean, it's also one player, right? Yeah. It's not the whole team. So I do think that it's some. I think Stephen May has been made an example of in a way which is a little bit of a harsh. Which is a bit harsh, I think. You know, everybody's like, ooh, I can't wait to see how Darren Burgess treats Stephen May. You know, that's what Ruzi was saying. And I understand that. But you know, there's 43 other players on the list who also have to put their hand up.
Right.
And...
yeah, and also, like, I mean, it's always hard to tell from the outside. But I wonder if fitness is everything when you're looking at why players don't play well. I mean, look at Wiedemann, who really did nothing all year. And from all reports, he had a massive preseason. You know, him and Oliver... did like what 1500 laps of
yeah.
I don't even know how many
laps.
Well,
Tom McDonald actually, he had the best seat. He said he had a great preseason.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's part of it, but there's also coaching things. There's also structural things. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the list though for a second, because I think the thing that I realized watching the game on Friday, which made me particularly upset, was that this list is not that different to the list that actually was on the park in the preliminary final last year. And obviously we got belts in that preliminary final, but that was a team that had gotten to a preliminary final. And that was the part that really concerned me. So you had Gorn, Oliver, Gus, Hibbard, Melksham, Jones, Lewis,
Viney,
Neil Bullen, who else? Petrarca, obviously.
I think we worked out there was only about five or six different players.
Salem.
Right.
Yeah.
And a number of those players, like Jeddah, for example, have been playing this season for most of the season, but, you know, missed bits and pieces. So nothing dramatically has changed in the list.
There's been a lot of chop and change, like players going out and going in time and time again. But yeah, right. I agree. Like in terms of actual players who are there, it's not like the whole team has been replaced. This is not like the Essendon like drug scandal year, right, where the entire team has changed and therefore they're catapulted to last. Like this is a team which is largely the same as the team that took the field in the preliminary final. So it's a really big concern. How has that team dropped so far? Even taking into account the injuries and the preseason issues.
Right. And we just don't really seem to have any ideas. I mean, you look at the game on the weekend and that forward line has got to be one of the worst forward lines that has ever played in an AFL game.
Petrarca, Spargo.
Spargo, Chandler, Kennedy Harris, Neil Bullen. I mean, it's like incredibly short. And you take offense at any attack on a short forward line.
I don't like anyone knocking short forward lines. Well, no, the problem is that here's the issue. So, you know, you look at West Coast, who have probably, I would say, the best forward line in the competition by a pretty fair way. And you look at their small forwards and the talent and skill of those small forwards. I mean, we were watching the highlights this morning of Willy Rioli kicking into the forward line, and it was just so exquisite that it made me cry. And you're comparing that to Chandler and, you know...
Right, early days on Chandler.
Early days. Okay, I don't mean to single out Chandler. Obviously, he's a debutante. But the point is that you just look at the gap in class and ability and, you know, even like, okay, what about Jared Cameron, for example, another guy who's played only a couple of games and a Petricelli, and you're comparing them to Chandler and Spargo and all these people who are our young forwards in the forward line. The gulf is huge.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just enormous. And it just looks like we have we've just got no skill and speed in the forward line.
Well, I just think it is a bit strange this week in particular not to play Pruce, because we had no real tall forward.
Right.
And constantly we'd kick it high in the air and there'd be no one who could...
Grampy would outmark us.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, with Petty going out and Oscar McDonald going out, like we had to do something. And I guess they did try Frost late in the game in the forward line. He actually did a couple of decent things. But there just seemed to be a lack of inventiveness. And it's almost like they just knew that this game was gone. And why would you not pick Jaden Hunt this week?
Yeah, I agree. That doesn't make any sense at all. He's got some speed.
He looked really handy as a forward. Then they put him in defense the last few weeks.
Yeah.
For no obvious reason. And then they drop him this week when we have this huge forward line issue.
Well, some suggestion from WhatsApp groups made the comment that maybe he's told them he wants out or something like that.
Oh.
That was like rumors on WhatsApp groups. I'm not sure if that's true. Yeah. That
I would say this would be one of his best games. In fact, he's someone who's improved this year.
He has someone who's improved. But, I mean, that's not a high bar, I mean, given where he was WhatsApp at last year.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, my rumors from WhatsApp groups may be untrue. But I don't really understand. It's baffling to me that they dropped him. Also, Petrarca in the ruck? I'm sorry, that just makes absolutely no sense. I would rather Proust in the team and Petrarca not get injured by going up in the ruck. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I was surprised they used him in that role.
No sense.
It was not very effective.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
And granted, he was also against Aaliyah, who was also not really a ruckman, but it just makes no sense. Also, you don't put the only skillful player in the team in the ruck to get injured.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
No, that did not look good to me. You know, there's a lot of the same boring stuff that we could harp on about. There's no point. You know, we won the inside 50s again.
Oh, but I don't even care again. About that stat. That doesn't even make a difference
doesn't
to me.
Doesn't even matter. Outside run is a joke again. Milkshake's kicking for goal.
Yeah. Gee whiz. That wasn't great. I mean, ultimately, though, look, what was it, five behinds?
Three goals, five. And look, a couple of his goals were a bit lucky. I mean, one was in the goal square, one was a dodgy free kick.
Yeah, some of them, he got a couple of really lucky free kicks. I also have to say that I really think that the umpiring was so incredibly favourable to us in that game.
It was amazing.
It was quite
At one point, we were leading the free kicks 25-13 or something.
Something stupid, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So it could have been a lot worse, is the truth. Because even that first quarter, we got a few lucky goals. We could have been several goals behind
definitely,
at quarter time.
And we probably deserved to be. They just looked like they didn't want to be there, did they?
Yeah.
And I felt a little bit sorry for Lewis in so far as what a bizarre and horrible way of ending an illustrious career than during that loss at the G. But I mean, look, he's got four premierships to console him, so I'm sure it's fine.
He is. And he is the winner of this week's Rowan Bale Award for Most Underrated Performance. I thought he was all right. You know what? The last few weeks, he has shown a bit, I think. You know, I don't think he'll be re-signed by any means, but, you know, I think he'll go out with a bit of dignity for his stay at Melbourne. It would have been sad if he finished up playing as poorly as he was kind of earlier.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that ultimately they haven't done any sort of announcements of when he's retiring, have they?
No, but it seems to be a bit of an accepted fact that he won't be playing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been made official, though.
Yeah, I don't think it has either.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, he might, in the coaching staff's view, have shown enough to get one more year.
Would he want one more year, though?
I mean, I don't know.
With this team?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that if they didn't want to keep him on, don't you think they would have tried to give him a bit of a farewell?
I thought so as well.
So the fact they didn't do that makes me think he might have a shot?
Yeah, I agree with that. I was really surprised that there was no sort of fanfare about his last game at the G of his career.
Right, because it's a remarkable career.
Incredible.
And if he went out like that...
Extraordinary. That's absurd.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, which makes me think maybe he does have some shot.
Of another year.
I think the fans would be very frustrated. Then again, though, it's not like we have this like amazing core of young players coming through to take his spot.
No, not at all. And that's, I guess...
Frankly, he's earning his spot right now.
Right. Well, that's exactly it. And I think that's the part that really has disappointed me the most about this season is at the start of the year, I would have thought that Jones and Lewis, just by the circle of life, would have meant that there would be young players who were banging down the door to take their spots. And that should be happening, right? That's how it should work. But the reality is both of them probably do have a chance of being at the club next year. And I mean, especially Jones, but just because of the fact that there's literally no one else who is really demanding a particular spot. And they're literally not depriving anyone of anything right now.
Right. Because the young players aren't coming in and showing
anything really,
really much of anything. It's true. Most of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. Yeah, that's what's so disappointing about all this. Let me ask you this question, Nates. So we all know that at the start of the season, Goodwin got a 3-year contract extension on top of this year.
Yeah.
What do you think would have happened if he hadn't got that contract extension and we come to today?
He would have been under a lot more pressure.
He obviously would have been under a lot of pressure, but would he keep his job?
Do you know what? It's a great question. I don't know the answer. I think he probably still would have.
I think he would too.
Just because we made a preliminary final and that's no mean feat. But especially because the team up until then had shown steady and sure improvement. So, you know, we missed out on the finals in 2017 by the smallest of all percentages. And then the next year we smashed into it. We were the highest scoring team in the competition. Plus we, you know, obviously made a prelim. So I think that because of that rate of improvement, they still probably would have given him a deal. I don't think it would have been the 3 years that they've given him now, though.
Oh, no way.
No way, no right? Way. It would have been...
He would have gotten one more year.
I think so, to see how he goes.
And I think they would have done a pretty radical overhaul.
Yeah.
I mean, they had this Josh Marnie review.
I don't like the Josh Marnie review. Yeah. I mean, I just think what that's just not how a strong... No, I don't mean to get stuck into the organization, but in terms of how... What?
You're usually so gentle towards the organization.
No, but I just... That's just not how strong organizations operate. They don't just do internal reviews by people who are heavily ensconced in that organization and ask them to make impartial decisions about...
And this is Marnie's football team as much as it's...
Correct.
Marnie's been there
it.
For like 10 years.
Yeah, right? And he was going to be the CEO at one point. Like, this is... He's entirely ensconced in the club. And I think that it is a silly idea to not get someone external who can actually make the tough and difficult decisions that need to be made. I mean, when you have such a stunning fall from grace, you need to have it. This warrants an incredibly rigorous and sort of hard review. And I don't think you can do that when you are so invested in the people that you work with and you're completely ensconced in the team.
Right, totally. And now we're going to lose all this experience in McCartney and Jennings.
Yeah.
And it's huge to see who comes in, because I don't think Goodwin can do this on his own. He needs some good people around
him. I think this year has really shown us that he really needs some support. And, you know, maybe they'll try and get, you know, I mean, I guess Blake Caracciola is now leaving Richmond to go to Essendon, but someone from Richmond or someone from Hawthorn or someone from a really strong club to come in and fill those roles. I mean, I do think the Darren Burgess appointment is a good first step, right? Mm. Like, he's just fresh from Arsenal, you know. He's obviously a whiz when it comes to this. And so, look, that seems like a better appointment than Missen, because Missen had been there for far too long. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, I mean, I do sometimes feel a little bit sorry for some of these fitness bosses, because I feel like some of these things, you know, it can't be the case that every single fitness boss in the country is kind of a dud. But that's, if you ask a lot of football supporting fans, that's how they would feel, given the number of players who are getting injured these days. And you have to question whether or not that's some of it is just because of the nature of the game and the taxing and how taxing it is on people's bodies. So, you know, like, I mean, gosh, like, supporters of, you know, St Kilda would probably say their fitness boss is terrible. We think our fitness boss is terrible. You know, there's just plenty of people who go Fremantle think their fitness boss is terrible, Essendon think their fitness boss is terrible. So all these players can't all be hopeless, right?
Sure, but whatever it is, it's definitely not working for us.
Obviously not. No, totally.
Okay, so in terms of the departure lounge for this week, I want to throw a name up for you. Mason Wood. There's some talk that he might be open to leaving North Melbourne. Do you think he's the kind of player we should target?
I think he's super talented, and I think he is the type of player we should target, as long as we can get his body right, because he's just so injured all the time, isn't he? But in terms of talent, absolutely.
I just think he looks like an absolute jet. And we obviously don't watch North Melbourne super closely, so I don't know how many games he plays.
Or at all, really, I would say.
That's true.
Super closely or at all.
But he just shows a lot. I think he'd be a great in.
I think this is the thing. I would like... Here's the fact. When you're 17th on the ladder, it's unlikely you're really going to be in a position to attract some serious jets in the off-season, right? Because the club looks like a bit of a mess at the moment, and, you know, we've got salary cap issues somehow. You know, if we manage to get Ed Langdon or, you know, I think Ed Langdon looks likely.
Yeah, Langdon's probably the best we can get.
I think so. Hill doesn't look likely at all. We won't have the money for him, and it looks like he's probably going to go to St Kilda. So, I mean... Langdon looks like the best we're going to get, which is something, but not...
No, that'll improve us.
That'll improve, but it's not like getting an absolute gun, right? That's not... I don't know how much of that in and of itself is going to really drive us up the ladder.
Totally.
But I think what we need to do is take a little bit of a leaf out of Brisbane's book, who, you know, are my second favourite team, slash probably my first favourite team these days. But, you know, getting Lincoln McCarthy was a really smart idea, because... I think Mason Wood probably is someone who's probably similar to Lincoln McCarthy. So a guy who shows quite a lot of talent, but ultimately just cannot get his body right, and is just constantly in and out of the side. And taking a chance on someone like that, I think is a good move.
And backing your fitness team.
Yeah, backing Darren Burgess to get them right.
To get them right.
And Brisbane does, from all reports, have a very good fitness team. So, you know, despite what I just said previously. But I think that that's who we should be trying to target in this off-season.
Yeah.
So people with some real skill and some real pace who, you know...
And on the fringes of their club a little bit, whether for injury or for other reasons. I agree with that, because we're not going to get these legit accepted stars.
No, we're not. But even if we had, for example, one thing that disappointed me is not going after, for example, Sam Lloyd last year.
Right.
I think he would have made a really big difference to our forward line this year, because obviously he's not necessarily good enough to be getting permanent games at Richmond, but at the Dogs this year, he's been really handy.
Yeah.
And a really good foil for someone like Aaron Norton.
Right, right. Well, it seems the last few years we've been very preoccupied with getting these big fishes.
Yeah.
You know? Got to get May in, got to get Lever in. And you can understand that, and obviously it makes sense if you can pull it off. But it's such a huge cost to doing that, that, you know, I wouldn't mind getting some, lower profile handy players to fill some holes, because there's holes everywhere.
There's holes everywhere, but I think lower profile, but with some serious skill, right? So, or we know with, like, you know, and even though, you know, Gary Rowan has always been my least favourite player ever, but, so I'm not a big fan of players who don't apply pressure, but ultimately I totally see why Geelong went out and did it, right? Because they thought, look, we probably don't have the money to go and get, you know, a superstar small forward. So let's go and get someone like Gary Rowan, who has some injury issues, who has some form issues, but who nonetheless has some talent, and see if we can figure him out and see if we can unlock the key to his success.
Yeah. I agree with that. Please send through your thoughts on who we should be trying to pick up before we next week, and we'll discuss them in next week's episode. Neats, the North Melbourne game, thank God, the final game of the season.
I'm very excited by that, actually.
Because watching these games has actually been quite painful.
It's been really sad and depressing. At one point, I just get so bored. It's really quite funny how boring, because it's not even like watching a shellacking. It is watching a shellacking, but it's just watching this level of skill, which is so low, that I just have no... I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah. It's terrible. But look, we have a chance to get something out of the last game against North Melbourne. How do we stop Ben Brown?
That seems unlikely. I mean, he's just in unbelievable form. Kicked 10 goals. I think he's probably going to kick 15 against us, I would say.
I don't know. Look, I do think Wheels might be a decent opponent for him. He's big and quick. You know, he might do
it. We towered up Tom Jonas last week.
Yeah, but I don't know. I do think the thing about Brown is he has this really significant level of athleticism.
Mm.
And I do think Frost can match that.
Mm.
Frost has his own issues, as we all know. But I don't know if Brown's going to kill us, but I mean, just across their team, they have so many forward threats now.
Oh,
and Higgins.
Can I just say one thing about Higgins, just because I knew you were going to raise him. The fact that North are willing to trade him is astounding to me. But also, why aren't we going after someone like Higgins?
Well, I know it seems more that North only wants to give him a 2-year deal and he wants 3.
Oh, I'd say give him 3.
Yeah, but
he's a star. He can kick so beautifully.
My sense was, I don't know, is he from the Geelong area? Did he have some connection to Geelong?
I have no idea.
I wonder if that's part of it, because surely he'd be the perfect kind of player for us to target.
Right.
They couldn't be more perfect. Another issue is cap space. I mean, if we're struggling to afford Hill, surely Higgins would be on good
coin. Higgins like 32. He's old. That's the thing.
Yeah, but
Hill is in the prime of his career.
If you're trying to entice someone away from their club, you always play a premium. And he is still their best player.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it would be fantastic to get him. I can't imagine we'll be able to pull it off. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we get on top of North Melbourne. Do you think that Christian Salem should be dropped? So David King was rabbiting on about this on the telecast.
Oh, he was filthy with Christian Salem.
I thought that was a bit harsh.
I mean, I thought the whole team was bad. And the problem with Salem is I do think he is just in this position where he is probably fed up as well, because it's, you know, the sort of move is effectively just give the ball to Salem at all costs and he'll make the right decision. And it just can be so tiring sometimes.
Well, I've said this before. I really do think he's being wasted.
Completely. I agree. Let's kick
him
to the forward
line.
He's
playing as a small defender. I'm like, that's not a good use of him. Who cares if he once has to do the kickouts? Someone else can do the bloody kickouts.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, play
get
him half
Lewis to
line.
Do the kickouts. Lewis
get
can
Lewis.
Still kick.
Yeah. Not even Lever. Like, Lever's meant to be a decent kick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a total waste of him in that role. And the truth is, he can get a bit exposed in defence because he's not super quick.
Yeah.
So if he gets out the back,
he's a good tackler, though, and he could apply good pressure in the forward line.
He's a great tackler, but I don't think he's like, his pace is really his standout feature.
Mm.
But he's such a good user. Yeah, he's got to be at half forward. It's I would love to see them try that this week.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or in the midfield.
So does Gawn go out this week, in which case Prusy comes in to face his old team against Goldstein off the back of the best game of his career?
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing how that went.
I think it'll be ugly.
Well,
I think Goldstein will run rings around.
I don't know.
Bruce.
The fact that they've played on each other would probably limit some of the damage a little bit because they know each other's game so well. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Prusy do it. I mean, obviously, I prefer Gawn to play, but if he's potentially a bit injured, what's the point
just
of risking
him? Put him
now?
On ice.
Put him on ice. give them all a month off. I don't think they should think about football for a month.
Oh, I actually completely disagree. I think they've got it. I think preseason starts literally the day after the North Melbourne game.
I mean, under the AFLPA rules, it can't.
Well, I mean, I think, fine, I understand that. But I think that they should be approaching this preseason harder than they've ever approached a preseason before after this particular performance.
I just think they need a grieving period. I mean, they look so down. They look like they hate the game.
That's true. They do look like they've completely lost all faith in humanity. But anyway, as have we. But that's okay. We're still here.
But yeah, any touchwood injuries should just not play this week, I don't think.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's probably our least joyful deluded episode. We tried to be positive a couple of weeks ago, but it's just too hard.
It's pretty hard after this particular episode, yeah. I mean, after this particular game.
They're just not very good. Thank God the season's nearly done. I'm actually really excited about that.
Why? Are you sick of being negative Nancy on air every week?
No, I want to go back to really being excited about the games. And I mean, we still watch them at these absurd hours. But they really do ruin the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, all of Friday at work, so you get into work super late after watching the game, and you're like, what did I just spend my last 2.5 hours doing?
And look, to be honest, I'm actually kind of excited about the finals because I kind of want to watch really good, skillful teams.
Right.
Like, I really
Football's
enjoyed watching.
Football's actually quite a fun
game to watch. It's a really good game to watch. I've just realised that. Like, we watched the West Coast Richmond game this morning. What a ripper. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we'll find joy through that. But if you find joy through Deluded, please follow our podcast on Instagram at Deluded Podcast. Send us your thoughts on trade and player movements, who you'd like to delist, and you can't reply all. And until after the North Melbourne game, we'll speak to you then. Go Dees!
Go Dees!